Sitting on the very edge of a sofa that carried a distinct whiff of urine, Sanna watched the smoke curl up from Kevin Hopkins' cigarette. It had taken him 4 attempts to light it, and his hand was still trembling so violently that he was in danger of extinguishing it again. He sucked on the filter, sending a flare of orange to the tip, and aimed the smoke toward the ceiling.
"Sorry, miss," he said. "I forgot what you asked me."
"That's okay, Kevin." She kept her voice low and reassuring. From the officer's account, Hopkins had spent most of the afternoon crying or throwing up. They weren't treating him as a suspect. According to a discharge note from Sheffield Royal, he had been hospitalised with cellulitis for the last 5 days. "You just said you had a key to Mr. Culver's... sorry, Andy's flat. I asked what prompted you to let yourself in there this morning." He nodded and knocked ash into a mug.
"Buster."
She patted the head of the dog whose chin had been resting on her knee for the past 40 minutes. "What about Buster?"
"I could hear her barking and carrying on. She went mental when I knocked on the door, and Andy would always yell at her if she did that. Only he didn't."
Hopkins stifled a sob by drawing on his cigarette, and then blew his nose on a wet tissue.
"I thought he'd gone under on the smack. He'd stopped breathing once before, and the chain was off the door, so I went in, and I found him all black and swelled up like that."
Buster whined at the sound of Hopkins' distress, and Sanna scratched the dog's ears while she waited for Hopkins to settle. She felt her phone vibrate with an incoming call, before the voicemail cut it off. "Can you remember when you last saw Andy?" she asked, once Hopkins had regained his composure.
"What day is it today?"
"Thursday." His fingers tapped on the chair as he counted out the week. Blisters and open sores on his skeletal arm spoke of a lively heroin addiction, so any timeline he provided would be sketchy at best.
"Maybe last Friday," he said. "It was the day before I went in with me bad legs."
She watched Nelson scribble a note. He had taken a back seat in the interview, letting her develop a rapport while recording the salient points for her. The more Hopkins perceived the interview as an informal chat, the more forthcoming he was likely to be. "And how did Andy seem to you?" At Hopkins' blank look, she expanded the question. "His mood, I mean. Was he his normal self, or did you notice anything different about him? Did he tell you that he was worried or scared about anything?" Hopkins took a mouthful from the mug he had shaken ash into, grimaced at the taste, and took another.
"I think he was normal. Happy, even. Said things were looking up."
"Did he tell you why?"
"He might have, but we shared a tenner's worth."
He opened his hands in apology.
"Don't remember nothing after that, miss."
"That's okay. You've been very helpful." Hopkins had already provided a list of Culver's friends and associates, although Sanna doubted it was comprehensive. Culver's parents had both died recently, leaving him with no immediate family in the area. Single for 6 months since the smiling woman in the kitchen photograph had broken his heart by calling off their engagement. He had loved his dog, hadn't gone out much, and had always used the security chain and peephole. Still clenching the cigarette between his teeth, Hopkins staggered into the kitchen, where Sanna heard him open and close the microwave. He came back, proffering a wad of notes.
"For Andy's funeral,"
he said, dropping the money in her lap when she was too slow to accept it.
"They'll bury him like shit otherwise."
Looking down, she estimated his donation ran to almost £100. "I can't take this. I'm not going to be involved in organising the funeral." She tried to return the notes, but he waved her off.
"Pass it on for me, then. I'd sort it myself if I could."
His face crumpled and he began to cry again, so she folded the money into an evidence bag and put it in her pocket. "I'll make sure the co-op gets this, I promise," she said. He wiped his nose on his hand and then wiped his hand on his trousers.
"I appreciate that, miss."
She nodded at Nelson, who stood to leave. "If you think of anything else, give me a call on this number." She set her card on the arm of the sofa and patted Buster's head in farewell.
"You'll find who done this, won't you?"
Hopkins said as they reached the door. "We'll do our best," she said, and watched his expression shift from expectant to despondent as he read between the lines. He nodded, resigned to the inevitable.
"Thanks anyway, miss."